the reduced Shakespeare Company is in the abridging business, but now we're doing a one-hour version of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play abridged here at the Gilded Balloon at the 2017 Edinburgh Fringe. Have we abridged too far, gentlemen?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 556, Abridged Too Far? I was in Scotland last week for the first few days of the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. I'm not performing there this year. I was just there to direct Joe Maudsley, Matt Pearson, and James Percy in the new one-hour version of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged, which they're performing every day except Wednesdays until August 28th at the Gilded Balloon Teviot near George Square. After Saturday's performance, I sat down in the pub with Matt, James, and Joe to talk about how the show was going and the challenges of abridging our abridgment even further. Well, actually, I sat down in the pub with him after every performance. It's just that this time, I turned my voice memo app on.
We've reduced.
Yeah. It is sort of reduced. Mm. I don't know. We've never done it. That's not true. We've done the show without an interval before in previous years. We've done all of our shows sort of in non-interval versions. But usually, they've been about 80 minutes long just by cutting the interval out. But this year, we've cut... Long Lost Shakes is about a 90-minute show, and we've cut a half an hour out of it to get it into this one-hour window here at the Gilded Balloon. You guys have been touring the full-length version across the length and breadth of this great land for 5 months. What's it been like to cut it down? Hard? Easy?
Well, I really missed the intermission when we got to that point. We got to the Tempest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got to keep going now.
Yeah.
We can't stop.
That's normally where I breathe, yeah. Like have a little rest.
Yeah.
If it makes you feel any better, we felt that same pain a year ago at the Pleasance, and we still had a half an hour to go, the second act, and you guys just have 20 minutes to go, but still.
I remember having the same feeling during the football game, which is sort of at the end of the first act of the complete works, and feeling... lightheaded. I was so tired from running around, and then thinking, "Oh my God, I don't even get a break now."
Have you done have you done the complete works in an hour long a no interval version?
I've done it in no interval version.
Oh, you did it here. You did it here. In fact, you did at the Pleasance a couple of years.
I've done
years.
It with a no interval version. Why can't I say that? A no interval version. It's hard to say.
Intermission. I'm sorry.
Yeah. What is an interval?
I don't know. Interval. It's just the Brits, you know.
Yeah. How they are. So, and that was a little harder, I think. But I think we basically did the whole show without an intermission, whereas this one we have cut mostly from the second act. I think.
I think so.
Yeah. I think there's something fun about abridging it even more and making it a one-act version. It's like an extra challenge, and there's something really satisfying about keeping the energy up and doing the whole thing in one big go and going, right, here we go, this is it.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a challenge for all the shows because the show, when we're writing it, the shows are structured to have this big peak at the end of Act 1.
Mm-hmm.
So then Act 2 always starts off a little more slowly to, mm-hmm. you know, put it in a slightly different key. But the audience has had the break as well, in addition to the performance. And so this time, nobody gets a break. And then the onus is on you guys to kind of keep the energy up after the Tempest. You've got to come back even sort of harder.
And I think it's almost inevitable. I went to see a stand-up last night. And even in an hour-long stand-up set, there's always a dip after about 40 minutes. There's always, and it's unavoidable. There's just a point where the audience gets a little tired. You know, the style of the show has been bedded in. New stuff isn't happening anymore. And as you say, the onus is on the performers to ride that and then push through to the end.
What do you, the ending of Long Lost ends with sort of three great monologues. The spoilers, William Shakespeare comes out and has a monologue, Ariel has a monologue, and then you've got the final great, if we players have offended, speech. Those feel like they have a great, a great weight and a little poignancy at the end of the full-length version. Does it feel like those? Does it feel like it has that same sort of weight at the end of this version?
Yeah, I think it still holds out. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's the first time we've kind of slowed down and allowed ourselves to kind of let's take the foot off the gas a little bit and really do this for real.
Yeah, I've heard there's always a great from the audience on you'll survive longer than all who draw breath, and you're getting that here.
Yeah, and also when I say no one will ever see my play, at least that is until this very day.
Yeah.
And the reaction in the hour-long version is exactly the same as we're getting on the tour, like the
well, that's it, kind of bodes well, as you say. It's good to have an hour version sort of in our bag of tricks,
mm-hmm.
because you can talk about get in, get the laugh, get out, get on with it, come in, do the show, and then you're getting the pub sooner.
Yeah.
As we are.
Yeah.
And I think it all lands really well because you've taken out all the bits that we couldn't do right or get anyone to laugh at.
I know.
So you're like, let's get rid of this bit. Is that because no one laughed?
Yeah.
It's about half an hour of material. We never did really nail.
But just that we couldn't do, and you were
that's not true. That's not why that stuff is cut.
But seriously, though, it does have a plot. This is one of the only Redo shows that has a very, a clear plot. And so I think we had an idea when we were doing the tour. We had an idea of what to take out, and then you sent us an hour long version, and it was pretty much exactly the same.
Right. Interesting.
So we both said, well, all of the Falstaff scenes have to go, unfortunately, because they're sort of their own thing.
Yeah. It doesn't affect the overall plot.
Yeah. So you have to stay with all the Puck and Ariel stuff, obviously, and then
Puck and Ariel.
Puck and Ariel.
and then there's other strands that you can keep, but it's kind of obvious the bits that need to go, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, that was cutting it down to an hour was less of a challenge than I thought it would be once we started thinking about it. And a year ago, we had already cut the Falstaff in the woods with the ghosts of all the Henrys. We'd already cut that scene because that was just, you could just pluck it right out.
Yeah.
The scene I miss, there's only one scene I miss, and it's the scene between Juliet and Kate and Beatrice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really, really fun scene, and in a sort of a different key than the rest of the show.
Yeah. In a way, I don't miss that scene because I found the insults that they teach me, and then she comes up with the insults.
Hard to memorize.
I found them so hard to memorize.
I wrote them, and I completely agree. They're hard for me to memorize.
Even by the end of the tour, I was still.
I enjoyed it
struggling.
When you were just making them up.
Yeah.
You say one word wrong at the start, and I'll be like, oh, what's he going to say now?
You snotty, fake fingered walrus. Head?
That's not it.
That is not it.
I'm Craig Robertson. I'm the author of four crime novels set in contemporary Glasgow and one set on the Faroe Islands. And you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week, James Percy, Matt Pearson, and Joe Maudsley continue performing William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Gilded Balloon in Edinburgh. They'll be performing every day except Wednesdays until August 28th. And then starting next month, you can see us perform all the great books Abridged, William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged, and the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged across the U.S. in Culver and South Bend, Indiana, West Long Branch, New Jersey, Aiken, South Carolina, Davis, California, Laramie, Wyoming, Asheville, North Carolina, Maryville, Tennessee, Somerville, New Jersey, San Jose, California, Algona, Iowa, Reston, Virginia, and La Mirada, California. And also next month, you can see us perform the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged in Hong Kong and Singapore. Then next winter, we'll be performing William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged off-Broadway, the New Victory Theater in New York City. And a year from now, we'll return to the Pittsburgh Public Theater to close out their season with our production of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to reducedshakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Joe Maws, Matt Pearson, and James Percy, the RSC UK cast of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged.
Yeah, it's been this has been a totally different experience for me coming over this week as well, because for one, I'm only here this week. I'm here just to kind of get you guys up, so to speak, as twere, and open.
You've done that beautifully.
God bless. But then I go, but then I leave. I'm only here for the week, and then leave you guys for the rest of the final 3 weeks on your own. In fact, I'm so out of touch being on tour, out of practice. I forgot my iPod with my microphone. I haven't left the house without that thing in over 10 years.
Wow.
But not, I got on a plane and flew to a different country without it this time, so I'm recording this on my phone, so the sound quality of this podcast might be abridged as well. I'm losing it. I'm getting old, that's what it is. I'm losing the will to live. I'm so glad you young people are going to take the torch and carry it forward.
Well,
it's,
got you back.
It's really exciting. I'm honestly so excited to be here with Reduced in Edinburgh, because it's I don't know. I suppose
Edinburgh, right?
Yeah, I suppose it feels like a kind of a spiritual home for the Reduced Shakespeare Company, right?
Well, you're right. And in fact, this year, 2017, is the 30th anniversary of the RSC's first performance.
Yeah,
and the debut of the complete works of William Shakespeare. So it's always great to be back. But it's great to be back on this year. And is this your James and Joe? This is your first time performing here?
No, I've done another couple of shows here before, but. Never this scale, I suppose, with such a great venue and such a great show. It's a real joy to be here.
Cool.
Yeah, I came over with my college back in 2002.
Is this the Odd Sox?
With my college, Noel Baker Community School.
And, wow, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Just
and,
now.
And we came over with the Urban Spaceman Company, and we performed Road by Jim Cartwright.
Okay.
And it was a group of like 15 and 16 year olds. And I did that thinking I was amazing and going, this is great. And it was great. But to be here and doing it in the Gilded Balloon is a
great venue. I mean, the space that we're in is the debating hall. It's at the very top of the Teviot building, the Gilded Balloon venue. And it's a proper theater.
Yeah, I feel like we're kind of cheating the fringe a little bit. Like, we're not in, like, a restroom in the back of a pub.
The first time I came to the Fringe was 2002, and I was 12 years old, in a student production of True West by sadly departed recently Sam Shepard. And we did it in the back room of a gay bar called the Holyrood Tavern, which is just down the road from the Pleasance. And it was a gay bar all through the year, apart from during the Fringe, when, like every other building, it becomes a Fringe venue. And it was in the back room, so you had the noise from the pub in the front. And, I think the most we ever had in was 4 people.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is, you know, playing to 200-plus people, whatever was in today, it feels like a real privilege to have that many people at the Fringe.
Yeah.
Well, and it's it was a treat working with the stage crew here, because they're terrific. They're doing whatever it is, 8 shows a day. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
They turn around, we get in, they get the show in, get it out, and working with their lighting designers, their sound people, and they've been great. And the lighting equipment is state of the art, because again, it's a proper theater.
Yeah.
It's not something that they've rigged in and plugged into somebody's iPhone, you know.
Yeah. I think this might be maybe, with the exception of when we did the show at Wilton's Music Hall, this is the best the show's ever looked in terms of lighting. It's amazing. And they've got, because they've got all these big moving lights, they can do all kinds of effects that we weren't able to do on tour. So,
and was that because the theaters you were performing in weren't kitted out, or you get in?
I think it's because this is a sit down here for a month. You know, they can take the time to, you know, really put it in. Whereas when we're doing just one night in a theater somewhere, it's got to be in and out pretty quick.
You get there at 11 in the morning, and whatever you can accomplish in the next 6 or 7 hours is what you get. When you're not performing, have you guys been seeing other shows? Are you resting yourself, conserving your energy, not staying off the alcohol? I hope.
We're kind of competing, aren't we?
Yeah.
With alcohol and shows.
Yeah.
Well, this is great. Well, you guys will. There's no way you'll surpass either Teddy Spencer or Reed Martin, who last year I think saw each of them over 50 shows in 3 weeks.
But how much did they drink?
You might have them in the drinking department. Have you seen anything good that you like? I've seen a couple of stand-ups, Tiff Stevenson and Alice Fraser, who I both liked. I saw Andy Daly, who's an American comic and actor, who I thought was really amazing.
Yeah, last night, the stand-up show that I refer to, I saw Neil Delamere, who's an Irish comic, and he's real old-fashioned room comic, talks to everybody in the front row, and then sort of refers to them all through the show in an absolutely genius way. He's very, very funny. Yesterday we saw some sort of physical clowning a duo called the Cagoules.
How do you spell that?
K-A-G-O-O-L-S.
Cagoules, yeah. Just like it sounds. All right.
Yeah, we were searching for it on the Fringe app and we couldn't decide how to spell it. They were so funny, so great.
And not spoken, no words.
Yeah. No words.
They got people out of the audience to do things with no words.
And explain to them what to do with no words.
Yeah, they were so physically strong and clear and precise. Yeah,
and Joe Maudsley was one of those people who
got me on stage.
Oh no, you can't sit down.
That's its own kind of pressure because you're a performer and you know how badly this could go.
Yeah.
So you do as little as possible.
Yeah, but as soon as I got up there, I was scared, which was great because you do a show and you get used to it and you step out and you're confident with it. In that show, I got on stage and I was bricking it.
Did you pretend to be a non-performer?
No, I was so involved with it that I forgot there was an audience there. Because I got up and I had to do sort of like a task, like a game show sort of thing. Uh-huh. And I was so in it, I just forgot that everybody else was there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great.
Because we know from doing reduced shows, the more chatty and the more the volunteers from the audience do, the less good it is, really. You just want somebody who's going to do exactly what you tell them and who's going to be all nervous, so it's going to be funnier for the rest of the crowd.
So we're basically requesting obedient audiences from now on.
Well, and yes, because our goal is to make them look good, and they don't know that if they act up and try to be clever, the audience will hate them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, usually. I mean, unless the performer is really crap. But then usually you want to know that the performers are in charge.
Yeah, they were great. They were great.
Oh, and we saw a great play, called Cockroached. Which starred a girl who went to the same drama school as Joe and I.
At the same time?
No, after. Okay. Yeah, but it was great. Yeah, it was kind of like an apocalyptic nightmare, really.
Sounds funny.
It was actually funny. Really good. I recommend that.
Cool. So we've had three shows down. What is it? 21 more to go? 18?
20, I think.
20 to go.
23 in total.
23 total. Yeah. All right. You can pace yourself. You guys will survive.
I mean, man, we're only what, like 3 days in? This is day two of the Fringe? Is that where we're at?
I think we're day four of the Fringe because we started on day two. It started on the second. Our first show was on the third.
Wow.
Wait, what's today? The fifth. It's the fifth. Okay. Yeah. Oh, and I don't know what's going to happen after the Fringe, but I think this is the end of this current tour.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is.
There are no more dates for you three as the long lost Shakespeareans.
No, I don't think so. We need another show, Austin. Yeah.
God, no.
Or, you know, dear listener, if you want to get us to come and perform it in your living room, we'll be doing nothing. So,
info@reducedshakespeare.com.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your abridgments via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @AustinTichner, and the RSC is now on Instagram too, @ReducedShakespeareCompany. And you can follow James, Joe, and Matt @James_Percy. @JosephMaudsley and @MattBarP, B-A-R-P. CROPEA. Thanks as always to Master Abridger Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Lydia France. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to authentically Scottish Craig Robertson, the author of Murderabilia and other great crime novels. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 556 1668ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
If there are any listeners in Barbados, please get in touch.
Yeah.
We're happy to come to you.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less.